Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Hope you're having a beautiful Monday morning so far. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Good to be with you on a Monday and every day of the week. Coming up this morning, looking forward to talking with our friend Patrick Riley. He's president and founder of the Cardinal Newman Society. He'll take a look at the recent Supreme Court decision. He wrote a great blog for the Register, which was published just recently. We'll take a look at that decision with him. I also have a few questions in terms of what he thinks, what's going on out there on the streets with so many young people so full of hate and anger and just rage. And where is this coming from? And what do we have to really digest and understand about what's happened in our educational system? So lots of questions for Patrick Riley, especially about the latest Supreme Court decision and beyond, of course. And then in July, we always mark the anniversary of what I think is one of the most clear and powerful encyclicals that was ever written, and that's Humanae Vitae, of human life, by now St. Pope Paul VI. And July is the anniversary of it. And we're going to be talking to our friends at the Couple to Couple League. Dr. Mike Manhart is the former CEO. And we're going to be looking at a number of things, including a brand new study. And I find this so fascinating and so affirming. New study confirms the association of periodic abstinence and positive effects on marriage. New research confirming that despite the challenge of periodic abstinence, the use of natural family planning can be beneficial for marital relationships and help improve marriage outcomes. The study, Natural Family Planning and Marital Chastity, the Effects of Periodic Abstinence on Marital Relationships, found that the use of periodic abstinence lowered the odds of divorce by 31 to 41%. Wow. Why is this? Well, we will address that question, ask that question when we are speaking with Dr. Mike Manhart. Now, think about this, and think about the discussion we had with Julian Gregg on Friday in terms of serving one another, loving one another, respecting each other, and doing what is necessary to make and keep your marriage holy. And I think this is something to take into account, what Julian Gregg talked about with the Marriage Disciples and the Alexander House, and what we're going to be talking about today. The two are definitely, definitely connected. So we'll talk about that with Dr. Manhart, and that's coming up at 39 minutes past the hour. And then closing a Monday morning, as we always do with our friend Gail Buckley, our scripture verse of the week, James 3:7. And this is very timely for right now. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed. It has been tamed by humankind. But no human being can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. We have to be very careful of how we speak to one another. And certainly, and I was just talking about this morning on the Sunrise Morning Show, it's important for us to express ourselves and to support our faith and to witness and testify the gospel yesterday, right? The parable of the sower. We have to put it out there. But we do it with love and we do it with respect. Doesn't mean we can't be firm. And it doesn't mean we can't be strong, but we need to be able to put it out there for people. Some people aren't going to accept it. Some people may go bonkers and think that you're insulting them or something, but we can't be responsible for their reaction. That's not up to us. That's between them and God or their own situation. But you put it out there and you preach the truth in your own way, maybe just sharing your story or answering a question or whatever. Again, it doesn't mean you can't be firm and strong or that you have to be Pollyanna, but to do it with the best of intentions, to help someone. And I get so frustrated sometimes. Did you hear the story just the other day? I think it just happened over the weekend, actually, where the reporter from ESPN was upset, and Vanessa Denhagarmo and I were just talking about this in the first segment of my show this morning. He was upset about the senator's comments about the NBA in China. And so this reporter from ESPN went on social media using expletives toward this senator. Why couldn't he just say, you know, Senator, I respectfully disagree, and here's why? You want to disagree? You have an opinion? Fine. But why do you have to resort to that kind of language? And I have to say, I credit ESPN because they suspended him temporarily and he had to apologize. So it is very important for us, yes, to speak the truth, but as in addition to James 3:7, as we always see in 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give a defense for the hope that is within you, but to do it with gentleness and reverence. And if you don't feel like you can do it at the time you receive a message and you want to respond, back away from the computer or the cell phone, take a breath, say a prayer, and just wait. Okay? All right, 5 minutes past the hour, a lot of news to get through this morning, so let's start that right now. It is a Monday morning. You're listening to EWTN. It's July 13th. Well, fire investigators from multiple agencies are probing whether arson was the cause of an intense pre-dawn fire at the historic San Gabriel Mission. San Gabriel firefighters say flames destroyed the wooden roof of the old church, causing extensive damage to the rest of the building, including the destruction of pews on Saturday morning. Later in the day, the Los Angeles Archbishop, Jose Gomez, visiting that church, which had been closed for renovations and was set to reopen this month. The Archbishop is now asking for donations to help pay for repairs. Boston police are investigating an arson attack on a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary over the weekend on Saturday night. Catholic News Agency reporting it's a second attack in the U.S. on a statue of the Blessed Mother in 2 days and during the same weekend in which two Catholic churches and fires are being investigated. And that was the one in California and also one down in Florida now. Local police confirming that a statue of the Blessed Virgin located outside the Church of St. Peter's Parish, according to CNA, had been set on fire and suffered damage. Local police and firefighters responding to reports that an unknown individual had set fire to plastic flowers in the hands of the statue, causing smoke and flame damage to the face, head, and upper body of that statue. The fire at St. Peter's is the latest in a series of fires, again, in acts of vandalism, which have struck Catholic churches in the last few days. On July 10th, the Diocese of Brooklyn announcing that New York City police were investigating the vandalization of a statue of the Blessed Mother at Cathedral Prep School and Seminary in Queens. Pope Francis at the Angelus message yesterday afternoon in Rome, reflecting on the parable of the sower, speaking to pilgrims, as Devin Watkins reports, embracing the word of God means embracing Christ, he says.
During Sunday's Angelus from the window of his studio above St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis drew inspiration from the Gospel of the day, in which Jesus recounts to a crowd the parable of the sower. He called it the mother of all parables because it speaks about listening to the word and tells the story of a sower who casts seed over four different types of terrain. The Pope explained that the word of God symbolized by the seeds is not an abstract word, but is Christ himself, the word of the Father who became flesh in Mary's womb. Therefore, he added, embracing the word of God means embracing the person of Christ. Pope Francis noted that there are many ways to receive the word of God.
Possiamo farlo come una strada dove subito vengono gli uccelli e mangiano i semi.
We may do so, he said, like a path where birds immediately come and eat the seeds. He warned that this is distraction and a great danger of our time.
Assillati da tante chiacchiere, da tante ideologie.
Beset by lots of small talk, by ideologies, by continuous opportunities to be distracted inside and outside the home, he said, we can lose our zeal for silence, for reflection, for dialogue with the Lord, so much so, he added, that we risk losing our faith. Another way to receive the word of God, he highlighted, is like rocky ground with little soil where the seedlings soon wither for lack of roots.
È l'immagine di quelli che accogliono la parola di Dio con entusiasmo momentaneo.
This is the image of momentary enthusiasm, said Pope Francis. It remains superficial. It does not assimilate the word of God. In this way, he said, at the first difficulty, discomfort, or disturbance of life, that still feeble faith dissolves. We may also receive the word of God, he said, like ground where thorny bushes grow. He described the thorns as the deceit of wealth, of success, of worldly concerns. There, he said, the word becomes choked and does not bear fruit. Lastly, Pope Francis said, we may receive the word like good soil. Here and only here, he said, does the seed take root and bear fruit. This parable, he stressed, reminds us that the word of God is a seed which in itself is fruitful and effective, and God scatters it everywhere.
Ognuno di noi è un terreno su cui cade il seme della parola. Nessuno è escluso.
Each one of us, concluded Pope Francis, is ground on which the seed of the word falls, and if we want, we can become good soil to help ripen the seed of the word. I'm Devin Watkins.
The annual Sea Sunday marked yesterday, July 12th, with many Christian churches taking part, the day highlighting the work seafarers do throughout the year. It also offers an opportunity for people to pray for those at sea and their families, especially now.
The challenges that seafarers face are significant at the best of times, and this last few months has definitely been the worst of times. And obviously there's been a whole range of challenges they face, most particularly around the issue of transit. Seafarers are normally in a month around 100,000 crew have to change, and transit and crew change has become incredibly difficult. So many seafarers, possibly around 200,000 at the moment, have been unable to finish at the end of their contracts. And that means similarly, another similar number have been unable to join their ships. And for the former group, that means very significant uncertainty and anxiety, and indeed, in some cases, exhaustion. And in terms of the latter group, it can mean significant financial hardship.
Speaking to Vatican Radio, Canon Andrew Wright, Secretary General of the Seafarer Charity, saying that never has it been more important, he says, to reach out to those at sea with support and compassion. Pope Francis saying he's deeply pained over the decision by Turkey to change the status of the iconic Hagia Sophia from a museum to a mosque. It was originally built in Istanbul as a Christian cathedral. Speaking in St. Peter's Square, the Pope noting the Catholic Church, as you just heard, marking yesterday as the International Day of the Sea, explaining the sea has brought him away from his thoughts to Istanbul and is thinking of St. Sophia. Pope Francis didn't make any other public remarks, but referring to the move by the president of Turkey to formally convert the building back to a mosque. The cathedral was turned into a mosque after the Ottomans conquered the city back in 1453, but the Turkish government decided to make it a museum back in 1934. Dean Muccio reports a federal appeals court is allowing a federal execution to move forward for the first time in nearly 20 years.
Daniel Lewis Lee is set to be put to death today for killing an Arkansas family of three, including an 8-year-old girl, in 1999. Lee is a former white supremacist. A judge Friday put the execution on hold over concerns of the coronavirus. Family members of the victims wanted a delay because of the risk of catching the respiratory illness.
The Washington NFL franchise announcing it will retire its Redskins moniker on Monday. Multiple outlets are reporting the move coming less than 2 weeks after FedEx, a company that owns the naming rights of the stadium the team plays in, asked the franchise to change the nickname. A new name is not expected to be announced right away as copyrights are pending. The team had announced on July 3rd that a thorough review process was being conducted after the name was criticized as racist. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos continuing to push for schools to open in the fall.
They've been missing months of learning. Many of them are going to be so far behind, difficult to catch up.
On CNN's State of the Union, DeVos saying school leaders need to make plans to get children back in the classroom. She says guidelines from the Centers for Disease Control are meant to be flexible and adds that officials know there are going to be hot spots around the country and those have to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis. The U.S. Surgeon General says the battle against the coronavirus can take a turn for the better if the American people do their part.
We can see cases go down just as quickly if the American people will do the things that we know slow the spread of this disease, including wearing a face covering.
On CBS's Face the Nation yesterday morning, Dr. Jerome Adams saying doing that could help turn the tide over the next 2 to 3 weeks based on how long it takes the virus to appear. He did wear a face covering during the interview to make his point. Sunday in the desert southwest wasn't just hot, it was record-setting hot. The mercury hit, get this, 116 degrees in Phoenix, 1 degree hotter than the old record for that date set back in 2009. The National Weather Service is forecasting a high of 113 this afternoon, 1 degree short of the record for July 13th, an excessive heat warning remaining in effect until 8 p.m. 14 minutes past the hour. It's a Monday morning. Thanks for tuning in to EWTN, and we'll be right back to talk with our friends from the wonderful Cardinal Newman Society on a Monday. Stay tuned.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study. Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Minutes past the hour on a Monday, July 13th, 2020. Thank you for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. This show is co-produced by EWTN and the Ave Maria Radio Network. If you're a new listener, please check us both out at EWTN.com and also online at AveMariaRadio.net. Always great to speak with Patrick Riley, president and founder of the Cardinal Newman Society, promoting and defending faithful Catholic education. He also teaches at Aquinas Learning, which is a classical Catholic homeschool program led by his wife, Rosario. They have five children. Patrick, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
And enjoyed your, I really thought it was very well done, your blog that you had on the Register last week. It was posted July 8th. Supreme Court defers to canon law in Catholic school decision. Given the way things have been going the last couple of weeks, were you surprised, pleasantly surprised by this decision, or did you expect it?
Nervously expecting it. You can't tell what this court is going to do, but... Mm-hmm. We were pretty hopeful that this was the way the court would go, and it was a 7-2 ruling, so nice and strong. Of course, you know, this was an outstanding and very important ruling, but if you put it in the context of the prior ruling, the Bostock ruling, we're really under the gun here, and this was some much-needed protection.
That's what I was going to ask, and I had Maureen Ferguson on with me last week from the Catholic Association. So is this a layer of protection following the Bostock decision? I mean, how does that balance out in the scheme of things with these two decisions?
Yeah, I'm thinking of it as kind of a nice, strong bomb shelter that's protecting us from the nuclear bomb threat that was just put over us. And unfortunately, the bomb shelter doesn't necessarily protect everyone. In fact, it only protects, you know, explicitly religious organizations. So meanwhile, the rest of our culture is under some very bad law. And so Ryan Anderson of the Heritage Foundation has been making this argument over and over again that these religious exemptions are simply providing us some much needed protection, but they're really not stopping the avalanche that's coming down on us.
So what do you think we need to do? We have this decision, which was a very good one and has limited protection. So what can we do to make a difference here? Obviously, we have to protect our right as a religion, as a faith, our faith-based rights and religious freedom. But what do we do in the culture in order to have an impact?
Well, you know, certainly we have to continue to fight for religious freedom. I mean, that's extremely important, this idea that that in the United States and the First Amendment, our faith is protected and we're allowed to continue to practice that. That allows us some room to continue to function as a church within the society. But, the problem is then you go out into the culture and, I'm starting to wonder whether graduates of Catholic schools are even going to get hired at a number of places because our schools will be deemed discriminatory and opposed to social norms.
so the bigger battle can't be forgotten. We can't just rest on these religious freedom fights. The ministerial exception, which was the basis of this court case, is a nice, strong protection for Catholic schools regarding certain teachers within the schools. It may apply to all teachers, but our Catholic schools are going to have to do a lot of work to make sure that every single employee at their institutions is required to engage in religious activities and to be teaching the faith in every classroom and throughout the curriculum. And that's something that, sadly, we're not doing in a number of our Catholic schools. So we have to get our act together within the church, and then we have to get out there and evangelize and let people know that the truths that we teach and the truths that we believe are truths for everybody, and our culture is not going to survive if we keep moving the direction that we're going.
Yeah, in light of that, looking at some of the people, I was mentioning this at the top of the hour, I'm sure you've been, you know, following all this coverage that we see out there with these riots. So many of these young people, you wonder, this anger and this rage, and you look at the result of bad education and literally a brainwashing, if you see what they're saying and what they're doing. And how do you just mentioned how, but it's such a tall task to counter that and to do it lovingly and effectively.
It is, and yet we know how to do it, and why we decide to shy away from it, I don't understand. This has been my constant question for the 27 years I've been working with the Newman Society. You know, I don't understand why Catholics back off of the truth. We have it, and we simply need to profess it. And at the very least, we need to be teaching it clearly to our young people. We need to be raising new generations of young people who really understand and know their faith. And that's Catholic education. We know how to do it. We now have new opportunities to do it through homeschooling, through hybrid programs online, through adult programs. We actually have it easier today to teach than we ever did, and yet still we seem to shy away from teaching the truth and teaching it forthrightly, especially just to our own families.
And now, since all of this, the rioting and the looting and everything started to take place, and with groups like Black Lives Matter doing murals all over the place, I'm seeing a normalization trying to kick in. And over the weekend, I saw a commercial, I think it was for Old Navy, one of the big retailers for young people, so you know the demographic they're targeting. And this commercial was all about embracing all of these different ideas and painted, no pun intended, particular groups as very loving and just unique, and we're all here together. And I'm thinking, here we go. It's just like with abortion, right? This is a wonderful choice for a woman, and it's a woman's choice. And the indoctrination, there it is, right there. In addition to the news is reported as well.
Yeah. And you know, every age has this, right? Every age has its ideology and its distortion, and we have to just keep fighting against it lovingly and simply by professing the truth. And you know, at the very least, let's just be clear and forthright about what we believe and what we know. And that truth, in the end, overcomes these ideologies. But we always have these challenges, and it doesn't mean that there isn't going to be significant devastation. I don't know about the future of this country under the Bostock ruling and the direction that this country is going.
Yeah, in so many ways, I don't even recognize our country. How about you?
Oh, absolutely. Can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine the Puritans? You know, hearing that the United States has made these sorts of laws that we were, and the disrespect for religion and for faith, and now the burning of churches and the destruction of statues of Mary,
Virgin Mary, yeah,
Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's cascading very, very quickly, and for anyone to think that now is the time to soft pedal our faith, I think they're missing the point.
Yeah. I'm just wondering what can be done, and I ask you this because you're so involved, obviously, in education, and so many of the people that are out there on the streets are young people, the people that you're probably trying to reach, and I think maybe they come at this thinking it's an act of goodwill and thinking they're trying to make some positive change, and yet there's so much destruction and rage and hate right. coming out. It's where is this all coming from, and how much of this is a result of, A, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are, at least were raised Catholic, bad catechesis and extremely bad higher education.
Yeah, it's bad catechesis, but it's also, you know, we talk about faith and reason, and we've always talked about in the sense of, look, you know, everybody focuses on reason, but, you know, faith needs to be integrated with our studies. But education also needs to focus on reason, and we've lost that through much of our education as well, and we're not forming young people's minds. And so, you know, I truly believe that Catholic education is the way out of this, and we have to put everything we can into it.
More with Patrick Riley, Cardinal Newman Society, when we come back on a Monday morning. If you have a question, 877-573-7825. Patrick is the founder and president of the Newman Society. Just wrote a terrific blog, which is posted on the National Catholic Register website. And we'll be right back. More with Patrick. Stay tuned.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
I've been a priest for 31 years. It's a call to a total gift to Christ. It's a total gift of one's life to be conformed to Christ. You know, and that's why I felt it when I was a young guy and I was kind of getting into religion and understanding it more deeply intellectually. It just began to hit me with a great clarity that if this is true, if God is real and God is a supreme good, well, why wouldn't I give my whole self to God? Why would I get distracted by anything else, you know? Now, again, I'm not saying that should be true for every single person on the planet. That's the way it hit me when I was a young guy, was I want to give as much as I can, my whole self, to Christ. So there's something heroic about that, where you do eschew a lot of things. You say no to a lot of things so you can say massively yes to Christ and to his demand. I think that's a heroic quality of it.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
How can we be sure our conscience is guiding us rightly? The Catholic Catechism states that in order to make correct moral judgments, we must have a well-formed conscience, one that is upright, truthful, and formulates its judgments according to reason and conforms them to the true good willed by the wisdom of the Creator. In order to avoid the trap of negative influences and the desire to prefer our own judgments, we must educate our conscience. The Catechism asserts that prudent education teaches virtue and guarantees freedom and engenders peace of heart. What are the ingredients of this educational stew? The Word of God, which we absorb through faith and prayer and an examination of conscience before the Lord's cross. Though our modern world sometimes makes discernment difficult, a well-formed conscience helps us see what is right and choose what is the will of God as expressed in divine law. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Chatting with Patrick Riley, president and founder of the Cardinal Newman Society, promoting and defending faithful Catholic education, and talking about his blog, which is based on the recent Supreme Court decision that came out regarding Catholic schools, and particularly was filed representing Our Lady of Guadalupe School. Explain the actual case and the actual decision more specifically, Patrick.
Right, okay, so this is regarding the ministerial exception. This is not a law. There's nothing written about the ministerial exception. It's a principle within the law that under the First Amendment, the courts absolutely cannot interfere with any sort of employment decisions regarding anyone who's considered a minister of a particular religion. And they've now basically made it clear that teachers of religion are under this ministerial category. There was some question about whether they had to actually be labeled a minister, and the court said no. It's all about what they do. And if they're teaching the faith, then they're not a minister, or they are a minister. The big question now, of course, is whether, say, a high school biology teacher at a Catholic school is under the ministerial exception. And this is still something of an open question, although the courts seem to open the door to that. The schools need to be sure that that person is clearly teaching the faith within their biology class, It ought to be taught across the curriculum, and they ought to have explicit religious duties. And in that case, they probably will come under the exception. And then, of course, you have administrative, clerical employees. You have coaches. You know, do they come under the ministerial exception? If they don't, then all of this protects the school from lawsuits related to certain employees, but they're still under this Bostock ruling. They're still under the mandate to ensure that their employment policies don't take into account homosexuality, transgender, or these other issues. And so, you know, it's a powerful protection, the ministerial exception, but if it doesn't cover every employee, the schools are still in a real bind because of the Bostock ruling. So that's why I was saying this is sort of a bomb shelter that protects a few people or maybe a lot of people, but if it doesn't protect everyone, we still have the threat.
Wasn't the decision, though, more generic in terms of what a minister actually is? Doesn't it give us more leeway?
It is, well, they seem to rely very heavily on the idea of teaching religion.
But everybody teaches religion in a Catholic school. Couldn't we argue that? Because that's your role. In some way, when you are an employee, you're coming to the school knowing what they teach and what they represent, or you should.
Right. We certainly can and should argue that, and it ought to be the way it is. Unfortunately, I don't think it's the way it is in many of our high schools especially. And so we need to get our act together and make sure that that actually is what we're doing, which is what canon law instructs us to do, to make sure that teachers are consistent with the faith and that they're teaching it across the curriculum. If we're doing that and we can demonstrate that we're doing that, then yes, they should come under the ministerial exception. And then, of course, the question is, what about those who aren't officially labeled teachers? Is a principal teaching religion? Is responsible for overseeing the teaching of religion. One would think that that would come under the ministerial exception, but these are the things that will still have to be litigated.
Are you optimistic at this point? What are your thoughts overall on where we're going?
I am optimistic about, it's interesting, I'm actually optimistic about the courts on the ministerial exception. I'm not so optimistic about what many of our Catholic schools will do. They have got to, I mean, we've had decades of general secularization within our schools, and this move to try to, we're more interested in meeting the state requirements so that we can be open to vouchers and school choice and public funding instead of making sure that we're doing everything top to bottom in a Catholic way. There has been some great improvement in many dioceses. And in many schools, but we still have a lot to do, I think, to make sure that our schools are protected under the First Amendment.
The whole situation, whether we're talking about Catholic education, Patrick, or just a culture in general, it really seems overwhelming and exhausting. It seems like every time we turn around, there's a new battle to fight.
Mm-hmm. There is, but, you know, I don't know. I tend to look at it as, look, we are lay Catholics, mm-hmm. and our first priority mm-hmm. is to live the faith.
Right.
And let's get that right. Let's
Absolutely.
Live the faith. Let's teach the faith. It's the parents' responsibility to make sure that our young people get an education in the faith. And so we need to do everything we can to provide that. If we can't afford the schools that are available, there are other ways of ensuring that our young people are raised in the faith. It's not as easy, but we have to do it. And if we do that, then so many things get, you know, improve. We see the great benefit and the great impact that graduates of these good, strong, faithful schools and colleges are having on our culture.
Right.
If we had hundreds, thousands more of them, what a difference.
And I think that's the bottom line. It has to start with us. And we can, of course, address our concerns to church leadership, which we should do respectfully, let them mm-hmm. know how we feel, give them suggestions, whether it be our priest, our pastor, our local bishop. But in the meantime, the bottom line, for example, the sower, the parable of the sower that we had yesterday, I love that. We have to scatter seed as well. And it's up to
right.
those who receive it, what they do with it. But we have to do what we can individually. So what can I do with my family, with my children, with my own domestic church, if every Catholic really lived their faith. I mean, Archbishop Shep Hugh has said this so many times. Imagine what the country would look like and the world would look like.
Right, right. And my pastor gave a great homily on that about cultivating our own soil, mm-hmm. right? We have to be prepared in receiving that seed. And we have to prepare our young people, and that's Catholic education, and we have to find ways to do it. And we can't say, oh, you know, it's too expensive, so therefore my kid's not going to get Catholic education. You are taking away the most valuable and important thing that your kid, frankly, has a right to, and that is an understanding of their faith and how it integrates with all other knowledge and understanding.
So there are other options out there, if folks can't afford a traditional Catholic school. Do you think more people are going to be enrolling their children or getting involved in programs such as the one your wife heads up, Patrick?
I think so. I think homeschooling is growing, and there are, you know, her program is sort of this hybrid program, so
right.
They're homeschoolers, but they go into school for a few days. I think that's going to increase. And honestly, I know I've talked to a number of Catholic school leaders that are actually concerned about the growth of homeschooling because they're trying to keep their doors open. I think this shift in the culture, at least temporarily, is actually going to move more people into Catholic schools, too. So I'm hoping that, you know, all of our boats rise. But meanwhile, we have to make sure that our schools are countercultural and are teaching the faith and are doing exactly what they should do, and people will come. People will want that.
Amen. Kind of like the old movie. What was it? If they build it, they will come. If we build it, they will come.
That's
or he
right.
will come. Was Field of Dreams. There you go. Now we can escape
there
you for
go.
A minute. Patrick, thanks so much. Give us your website again for the Cardinal Newman Society.
That's newmansociety.org.
All right. Stay strong in the Lord and keep making a difference as you are. We'll be right back on Catholic Connection, taking a look at a fascinating new study affirming the beauty of Catholic Church teaching on marriage and sexuality. Who knew? There you go. We'll be right back.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Evidences for Christianity. It took 30 to 60 years after Christ's resurrection for the Gospels to be written. Why weren't they written on the spot? First, the habit of the time was to memorize. Besides, there were no printing presses, scribes were expensive, and illiteracy was high. Second, written records were deemed inferior to an eyewitness who could tell you what happened. Third, the New Testament authors were preoccupied with travel and evangelization, and it's hard to write from a donkey's back. And fourth, the early church expected Christ to return within a few years, so why bother? In the end, these reasons contributed to the broad and quick establishment of the church throughout the known world. And that's evidence for the authenticity of Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Call to Communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world because we're all children of God.
Call to Communion with Dr. David Anders. This afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It is a Monday morning, July 13th. If you were to say this to the world about the fact that, oh my goodness, the Catholic Church teaching regarding natural family planning, abstinence, things like that, the fact that the church does not support and will never support artificial contraception, that it actually helps marriages. People look at you like you have three heads and say that you're oppressed, you're backward, you have no idea, you're trying to oppress women and yada, yada, yada. Well, you know, you can come up with the headlines or the statements they'll make. But you know what? There's more evidence if we would only have eyes to see and ears to hear. We were just talking about this on Friday, Dr. Mike Manhart, former CEO of the Couple to Couple League, with our friends Julie and Greg Alexander from the Alexander House. So this new study is another one of those things that to me, you know, now God would not say this, but I sometimes could see him up in heaven in my own mind. Don't tell me I told you so, but I told you so. But anyhow, so tell us, thanks for joining us, by the way. Tell us about this new study regarding the connection between periodic abstinence and positive effects on marriage. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Teresa. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
This is a piece of work that Dr. Richard Ferring from Marquette University and I did together. And it basically is an extension of some stuff we've been doing for quite a while, which is if as the church says, practicing abstinence periodically in marriage is good for marriage, there ought to be more benefits to demonstrate to the use of NFP than just the fact that you can space babies. There ought to be some other, you know, effects on the marital relationship. And when you look at the literature that's been done, even from the 60s, they started in the 1960s, you know, most people who use NFP say that despite the fact that it's hard at times because of periodic abstinence, it's a benefit to my marriage. But that's kind of a pretty soft way to quantify the benefit. Yeah, I feel good about it. Well, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did is we used in the United States, we have this regular survey called the National Survey of Family Growth, which goes out and grabs a representative population of the United States women who are of a reproductive age. And it asks them all kinds of questions about their current methods of family planning and their religious beliefs and their income and their education and whether or not they've had an abortion and all kinds of questions. And the important thing is it's representative of the U.S. population. These are, you know, so you come with some conclusions from a piece of work from that survey, you can be confident it generalizes to the entire United States. So we took that data and we looked at the influence of choices in family planning on divorce rates, because we argued that if NFP was good, we should see lower divorce rates objectively versus people who've never used NFP. So that's what we did. There were about 2,500 ever married women. That means they were either currently married or they're divorced or separated. And then we analyzed through a bunch of statistical tools the relative influence of their choice of family planning, the relative influence of their religious practices, as well as their educational level and their poverty level. Because most people would say, you know, more education, less divorce, more poverty, more divorce, right? That would be sort of a natural thing to assume. And so what we found was that women who had ever used natural family planning had about a 30 to 41% lower odds of divorce, lower likelihood of divorce than people who never used NFP. And on the flip side, women who used oral contraceptives had an increased risk of divorce compared to women who had never used oral contraceptives. And that was about a 44% increased risk of divorce.
Wow.
The other thing that we found, which is probably not surprising for Catholics, is that people who attend church regularly, that is once a week or more often, those people have about a 49% lower likelihood of divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you know, those practices are important.
But what is it about the abstinence itself that is lowering the odds of divorce, do you think? What have you found? What is it about that?
Well, we think what it is when you look at the published literature that's out there and they've interviewed people, and there's a few studies that have compared couples who use natural family planning to couples who use contraceptives. And what they find is that it's really the self-mastery, the self-control, and the habit of being disciplined and, you know, doing good for the good of the other, not for myself, as a first principle, is probably what's driving the effect there. I think that, you know, I mean, it's in the Bible, right? St. Paul writes about it in Ecclesiastes. There's a time to embrace and a time to be far from embrace.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably some inherent good in terms of our own development as humans to reach our full potential that's involved with periodic abstinence. And yeah, it's hard, that's
yeah.
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, what Olympic gold medalist has never had to work hard to win their gold medal?
Well, see, this is what I was just going to ask you. And by the way, if you're just joining us on Catholic Connection, we're chatting with PhD Dr. Mike Manhart, former CEO of the Couple to Couple League, about a beautiful new study affirming, go figure, the church teaching on contraception and, of course, sexuality within marriage. We have no problem in our culture in looking, as you just said, Olympians or someone who is trying to get healthier in terms of their weight, or maybe there's someone who struggles with alcohol or drugs, and even though it's a struggle, they feel better when they don't, take in too much of a particular, you know, item, whether it be alcohol, God forbid, or drugs, or whatever it is, or certain types of food. We're proud of ourselves when we resist those French fries and eat something healthy, let's say a plain baked potato. That's good. We abstain. And that's fine, but nobody wants to look at it in below-the-belt issues. And this is across the board on everything in this issue.
Yes. Yeah, I think there's it's sort of like the third rail, right? You just can't touch it when it's a below-the-belt issue. And culturally, we assume that, people should be free to express themselves sexually in whatever way they want. And that's really not healthy. Just like you say, like overeating or over-imbibing in alcohol probably over-indulging in sexual practices is not good either.
But we don't hear about that phenomenon. Yeah. So how are we getting the word out about this latest study, Doctor? Is anything being done in terms of, I know this is a good month to talk about it because of the anniversary we always talk about with Humana Vitae, but what else can we do to help spread the word on this?
Well, this is published in the Lineker Quarterly, which is the official scientific journal of the Catholic Medical Association. It's
mm-hmm.
a peer-reviewed scientific journal. It's accessible through PubMed, so other scientists who are looking for related stuff can find it. It'll have it referenced there. I would say if people can just talk about it, I believe there's a press release on the CCL website about this and maybe a blog that they could share with other people. Take the information to your pastor.
Amen. Put it in your bulletin.
Starting point.
Put the article in the church bulletin, right?
Right. Well, the article itself is pretty long.
People can read it.
You could do, yeah.
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 Or maybe even put the press release or put the link to the website, right? There's all kinds of things you can do, but to get the word out about this. And it's so, so important. Or maybe put the link on the parish website.
Right. And I also think that just, being a little, for the few people who are using NFP today, being a little more courageous and a little less afraid to talk about it. Let people know you by your actions. See that you've got a good relationship. You can kind of tell the people in church, oftentimes, the NFP families, there's something different about them visibly. So let's not be afraid to shine that and let people see it.
Amen. Michael, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. Talking with Dr. Michael Manhart on this brand new study regarding just how effective in terms of preserving, upholding, strengthening marriages a church teaching is when it comes to contraception and NFP. Thanks so much and really appreciate it. We'll get the information out there and we'll get a link to the study on our archive section. And we'll be right back to wrap up with a very powerful verse, our scripture verse of the week, with our very own Gail Buckley from Catholic Scripture Study International. Stay tuned.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
This program brought to you in part by the nonprofit Angelicum Academy.
This is Father Joseph Fessio with an important message for Catholic families experiencing the effects of the shutdown of schools and employment. Catholic education is essential. You can save $100,000 as your high school students continue their Catholic education online while earning 75 college credits and an accredited associate's degree for just $3,500 per year, and an accredited bachelor's degree just 1 year later, age 19. To learn how, go to angelicum.net.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. Your search for affordable health care stops here. Since 2014, CMF Curo has provided Catholics with affordable health care sharing that goes beyond insurance. With programs that cost less than many COBRA and ACA-sponsored plans, CMF Curo is a Catholic health sharing experience that enables you to live fully alive while saving money. Call 1-833-GET-CURO to find affordable Catholic health care now. That's 1-833-GET-CURO.
Hope you're having a beautiful Monday morning. My goodness, this hour went by quickly already, 50 minutes past the hour. Glad we have a little bit more time with our wonderful Gail Buckley, Catholic Scripture Study International. Gail, what a timely verse. Please share.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning, T. Yes, this is a good verse for this time that we're going through. It's from James chapter 3, verse 7. It says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by humankind, but no human being can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison." So true, isn't it? We're hearing
goodness.
A lot of bad things said lately. You know, when St. James spoke these words, he was not talking to the pagans, but he's talking to fellow Christians. So we need to heed these words as well. And in this, in the same chapter, I think he told us that even though the tongue is such a small member of our bodies, it has such great power, just like a rudder of a ship. You know, it's real small, but it has the power to guide that huge ship. And he warns us that the tongue is like a fire capable of far-reaching destruction. We all know that words can be very powerful, and you know, the whole course of one's life can be affected by just one statement.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my mother used to say, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all, which is really hard for me, you know, chatty Kathy. But we need to remember that once something
somehow
said,
I relate to that. Go figure.
Yeah, really. But, you know, we can't take words back once they've been said. And so many times, Teresa, we say these meanest things to those we love the most, to our family,
mm-hmm.
you know, spouses
mm-hmm.
and parents. But most of us are familiar with that old saying, you know, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But that's really not true. Words
right.
can be so much more painful than a physical hurt, because with physical pain, you know, it goes away usually in most cases after a short amount of time, but words can stay in someone's mind forever and touch their
you
very
You know what?
Soul.
That is so true. I think about years ago, my mom, Rosie, you know, who passed away in March, may she rest in peace,
right.
she never gave herself credit for her own intelligence, because she had an aunt who told her growing up that you're nothing unless you have a college education.
Oh,
and my
yeah.
mother was never able to get a college education. She had a very good job and she was very bright, and then she got married. She
mm-hmm.
wanted to, she really wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. That was, she loved children and she was able to, you know, pursue that. But she always felt very insecure, and she'd say things to me like, oh, I'm so stupid. I'm like, Mom, why are you saying that? That's not true. You're very smart. You're very inquisitive, blah, blah, blah. Because an aunt told her that you don't have a college
yep.
education, you don't amount to anything. I thought, how? And those are just, that's just one time.
Exactly.
An aunt said that to her, and her whole life it affected her.
Exactly. I can think back to things that were said to me in my childhood, and I still remember it. I never forgot it. So these words, you know, St. James says that with our tongues we can bless the Lord and the Father, and the same tongue we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. And so I remember Mother Angelica used to say trash in and trash out. In other words, if you listen to movies and TV shows and listen to foul language and everything, you all of a sudden you start talking like that and acting like that. And so the lesson that we can take from this verse is that, you know, our tongues have enormous power for good or evil, and depending on how we use it. And we should never use it for, like, cursing and spewing foul language and hate speech and obscenities or gossip. So God gave us tongues to share in his work of redeeming and sanctifying and bringing order and beauty to the world. So we need to harness our tongues and think before we speak. Unfortunately, yeah. That seems to be a rare thing these days. But we need to be, as Christians, we need to be a light to the in the darkness. And we have way too much darkness now. So we can start by thinking before we speak.
Absolutely, and that's a really powerful verse. I always think of, in addition to that verse that you're bringing up to us in James, 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give a defense for the hope that is within you, but to do it with gentleness and reverence.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
And that doesn't mean that we have to be, you know, Pollyanna or not be strong
and
firm.
Oh, no, don't have to be rough or be walked
exactly,
on, no.
Or walked on, that we can speak truth, and sometimes we do have to speak firmly if we're disciplining, let's say, our children. But the goal is not just to, you know, get back at someone, but it's to try to explain something or engage in a conversation that could be a lively conversation, respectful
right.
but lively. But it means doing it in a Christ-like manner. I mean, it's so hard to see.
I mean, now
there.
People throw words around. Anything you say, they don't like it. You're a racist.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's like it reminds me of children in a sandbox calling each other names. They just don't want to talk, just want to call names. And that's really embarrassing and terrible thing for us to be as Christians to do. So we don't want to engage in that.
Well, thank you, my dear, for some great insight.
Absolutely.
Where do we find your beautiful Bible study online?
Okay, at cssprogram.net, or you can go to stbenedictpress.com and look for CSS Bible Studies.
I highly recommend it, and I have done so in print, as a matter of fact. It's great. I was in it for many, many years. Thanks, Gail. Have a great week. Look forward to speaking with you next Monday, a week from today, God willing. Thanks so much for tuning in, and don't forget all the information if you want to listen again or share. Speaking of putting the seeds out there, you can go to AveMariaRadio.net about midday, and Andrew has everything up there for you. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Tuesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.